With that, let us please bow our head and ask the Lord to be with us. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful creator you are. You give us the life that we have before us. You've given us the life that is behind us. We look to the past to gain strength for the future. And we hope and pray, Lord, that our future, our near future, will be in your midst. We pray for your soon coming, Lord. I know there are many indicators in the world today that possibly could be showing us that the buds are starting to bloom and that we can see that summer is not far off. So I ask you, Lord, please send your Holy Spirit today as I speak, because I by myself cannot find the words. Only you, Lord, can tell me the message that you want the people to be heard. So we thank you for everything that you do for us. Ask that you open our hearts and our minds. And may we gain a special blessing from today's message. I pray in your holy, precious name. Amen. As I've said, you know, subjects are hard to come by. But always the Lord intervenes, sends his Holy Spirit, and tells us what to speak about. There are so many subjects to speak about that I'm sure they've all been touched on at one time or another. And through the many years of Sabbaths that have taken place here in this sanctuary and celebrated, many messengers have stood here. I'm sure there have been many who have much more Christian experience than I have. But there is one thing that I bring that is unique, and that is my perspective on how I have received God's loving attention. My tenure so far has been short, but it has been the most wonderful walk that I have ever had the pleasure of experiencing. Just last night, as I mentioned during our praise and share, I was able to witness to a good friend of mine and his wife. And they too gave witness to me on the miracles that have taken place in their lives. And the Lord is definitely working in my life. Each and every day brings me new challenges, new thoughts, new ideas, new understandings of the beautiful grace and love that my Creator has for me. I've come to grasp the love that the Adventist way of worship, and I've come to love God's plan for His chosen people. I stand for Jesus. I love His commandments, and I choose to live my life in a fashion that emulates the character of God to the best of my ability. I know I fall short in many ways. I know we all do. But thank God for His grace and patience with me, because alone I would have no character that would be worthy of being called good. And by His word, and by His love, I choose to make my lifelong goal one that is humble, a loving relationship with my Creator, my church family, and with all people. There are many things yet that I don't know. But by the will of God, I will learn what He wants me to learn. There are also many mistakes that I make, and God willing, He will correct and guide me. I will do what He wants me to do, and I will say what He wants me to say. I dedicate myself to being His servant in whatever capacity he wants me to serve. And I eagerly wait for his coming. Day by day, the importance of things of this world kind of slip away. Not as a disappointment, though, but as a relief of the burden that the Lord said he would take from me. As God's peace and my love for him increases, I hand it all to Jesus. There is a peace that makes me sigh with relief, knowing that I have no worries to concern myself with. The Lord is with me every step of the way, as he is with all of us. I pray that God's peace be also with you. So, let us all be vigilant and stay close. I'm always thinking of ways to better serve God, and my mind takes me to places looking here and there, but mostly to our future, because as Adventists, you know, we look for his second coming. Not only the future of myself and my family, but of our church and our community. And knowing that our Lord can return soon makes me want to be vigilant and stay close to him and to his word. To do the absolute best that I can do to give God all due to him and honor him as he should be honored and respected. And this is where I find myself wondering, how can I fine-tune the things that I do in my life to better serve God? By being vigilant in all that you say and do, and by keeping yourself as close as you possibly can to Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And believe me, he wants to devour us. Many times we watch TV news and hear about our military and their activities in either Iraq or Afghanistan. And we see short clips of video with them all in their military equipment, such as backpacks, survival equipment, communications gear, and of course the most prized possession. And we know what that all is, right? What would that be? Their weapon, exactly. You see it strapped close to their chest or in their hands. You'll never see one without it. They're never without it. And to be caught without it would mean certain death in a hostile environment. They're not just loafing around, meandering, either. They're there for a purpose. The one thing they must do to safeguard themselves and their comrades is to always be watching, always be aware of their surroundings, be vigilant, and stay close. They keep themselves in a position to best react to any hostile action that may come to them. They know exactly what they have to do in any given situation. They know this because they've trained constantly. Their lives depend upon it. Day in and day out, they are taught everything that is required to survive. And those of us who have been in the military can attest to that. And we are not so different in our situation in God's church. We're fighting battles every day. Some are physical battles, but overall, it is a spiritual battle. Some are, we all know that the battle between God and Satan is playing out right before our eyes. We should all be garbed with the armor of God, And we should all be wearing our battle dress. We should be able to identify and pursue all areas of spiritual combat. We should walk daily with our best equipment and be as well trained as we possibly can be. Our training should encompass a knowledge of His Word and a knowledge of how to use it, as many have used it in the past to fight God's battles against evil. We must be prepared to tell people of our loving God, our Creator, that we have and make attempt to break down the barriers of this evil world that we live in, and to bring truth and purity of a risen, loving Savior. Except there is a problem sometimes with our approach. We're approaching the battle with only our pajamas on, with a root beer in one hand and a moon pie in the other. And I don't really think if we know whether we're coming or going sometimes. We just aren't taking this battle too seriously. As it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Since there's no immediate sense of danger or loss of life, we feel content in ourselves and our everyday lives that we feel no need to don our protective gear and keep our weapons close at hand. And I don't mean we have to carry an M16 around with us. The weapon we should carry is God's Word. And the constant training that we should be receiving is what prepares us for any situation that we may encounter, even to death. Why not death? I know several weeks ago in our lesson study during Sabbath school, we spoke about that particular thing and how willing we would be able to, or how we would be able to handle the situation of if you had to die for your Lord today. It's a difficult one to answer. And one day it may come to that. As a matter of fact, in parts of the world, it already is. I was listening to the news here just yesterday, and I think it was in Florida schools, and teachers and principals are being put on trial for praying. Isn't that amazing? Would you have ever thought in your lifetime that you would see something like this? Times are changing quickly. It amazes me when I read about the martyrdom of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read it. Verses 55 through 60. To think of his state of mind when Stephen was preparing to die. 55, it says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Can you imagine being in that position? To have the love, the faith for the risen Lord to be able to do that? How many of us can do that? How close are we to God that we can do this for Him? It's a good question. If it came to this in our lives and our situations where we are right this moment, we would be prepared to do this for our risen Lord, would we? You had better be. Look at it in a different perspective here. I know it's not the same situation, but there are many military personnel who would give their lives not only for their fellow soldiers, but give it for their country. Many did, many do, and many will. We had better straighten up. Be vigilant and stay close. Close to Jesus and no one understand Him. Be prepared to die, just as He did for us. This is where a problem surfaces. I really don't think that we're prepared to do that. Not quite yet. Because we show up to the battle in our PJs. In order for us to perform in our expected capacities, we need to get back to the basics. We need to learn and understand our God. We need to know and understand His love and forgiveness and give Him the proper respect that is due Him. And not set ourselves in front of TV watching the next episode of CSI Miami. We don't know how to do these things in a proper fashion because we don't train as we should for battle for our lives. For instance, we don't even know how to come into God's house and show the proper reverence for the house of worship. I know these are kind of harsh words. To the humble believing person, the house of God is the gate of heaven. We should not defile this. From this church, where we prepare ourselves is where we prepare ourselves for the church above. From the sacredness that was attached to the earthly sanctuary, we should regard where the Lord meets with His people. That's right here. Nothing that is sacred, nothing that pertains to the worship of God, should be treated with carelessness or indifference. When people enter the place of meeting, they should do so with decorum, passing quietly to their seats. Common talking, whispering, and laughing should not be permitted in the house of worship, either before or after the service. Ardent, active piety should characterize the worshipers. These things are all important in understanding and respecting who our commander is and how we are to know our God and be prepared to fight the fight. Because if we cannot follow the rules of conduct in God's house, then how are we to survive outside of these walls? We must be diligent and we must stay close. You may think that this is difficult or that compromise can be tolerated. Well, of course it is difficult. Even Christ had difficulties. He even asked His Father if He could have His cup taken from Him, if it was possible. But he eventually said, "Your will be done." Because Christ knew who is in charge, and his love for the Father made it possible to lovingly do his will. We too will say the same when and if it comes to us. And the reason I know this is because, as it was with Stephen, and as it was with Christ, our faith and the Holy Spirit will guide us as it guides us in all our spiritual matters. I often wonder what I can do to help make our church better. I know that one way is to do what I'm doing right now, speaking to you with the presence of the Holy Spirit with me, because without the Holy Spirit, it means nothing. I'm no one special, but I am able. So therefore, here I am. I can see things on the horizon that puts me on guard, and you too should also be on guard. I'm not a prophet, but the more I learn from God's word, the more I see the urgency of the times. I believe that our church is mildly unprepared for what Jesus has said we should be prepared for. Satan's attempts at deception are hard at work in our lives, even as we set here in God's house. Our hidden little secrets are within us, maybe not known by the rest of us. We walk in here with happy smiles, as if all is well. But we are fully exposed to God's eyes. God knows and sees our nakedness. And I'm not talking about a physical nakedness, but a spiritual nakedness. I'm not talking. Talking with Jesus every day is very important. And we may ask for God's forgiveness, but without the sincere, repentant heart, we're not heard. I know that we are human and with faults, and our walk with Christ is something we are always striving to improve. In many instances, our efforts are nothing short of pitiful. And it's not so easy to give up that sin that you love so much. You love it so much that you're willing to put it before God. As Pastor John stated last week when he spoke, he says, if you're going to talk the talk, you also be better to walk the walk. We happily go about our everyday business without much thought to what happens in the next 5 minutes. Needless to say, what happens after that 5 minutes. Oh, sure, we say that Christ is coming soon, but act as though it is something that is only words written in a good book. And it might be said, I'm not too concerned about it. There are things that need to happen before Christ returns. So maybe I'll try next week or next month or maybe even next year. Maybe some of us feel like we have a good, sound relationship with Christ, but many of us don't even take the time to sit down once a day or even once a week and read his word to establish a good, loving relationship with our Creator. It amazes me that on Tuesday nights we have an SOS class. And what a wonderful class it is. We're there to read and learn God's word. Sometimes we have a good group. We'll have 12 to 15 people. But we have a certain few that are dedicated to it. But that number is few. If we love the Lord and we're serious about learning his word, this is a time when we can get together, have the Holy Spirit with us so that we can learn his word and we can apply it to our everyday lives. We know that the only way to know God is to read His Word. We must be vigilant and stay close. We know we communicate and have a relationship with Christ through prayer. And our knowledge of His Word gives us the ability and the opportunity to talk to God in a way that is most effective. We learn His wonderful character and use it by His grace to mold us into that which best characterizes Him. And if you read His Word, you will not only learn the history of God's creation, but His purpose for us, about His great and wonderful plan. And if you don't read it, then His Word doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot to you. Your willingness not to want to know His Word is going to only earn you a lack of recognition from the Father when the time comes that you should stand before Him. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 4. We should all be pretty familiar with that one. We've been studying it in our Sabbath school. Just because the sign out front says Seventh-day Adventist Church doesn't necessarily mean that there are Adventists inside. Satan can walk through the front door as easily as a righteous man can. So be wary of your lifestyle, your actions and your relationships you have with others, and especially your relationship you have with your Father. Life is much too short to think that you can conquer happiness through your achievements here on earth. Remember that this world belongs to the evil one. All the material distractions that are in the world today are just what he has ordered. Anything to distract us from where we should be focusing, and that is the wonder and the beauty of our Lord. His creation, His Word, and the blessings of each and every breath that He gives us, and the blessings of the skills and abilities that God has given us to enable us to work and to provide for our families. The godly character that we should be demonstrating while we interact with others at work and on the street and at home with our families will be the measuring stick for which success that we have in our lives. A representation of good character will do nothing but enrich us not only for this life, but also for our new godly life in heaven. And the glory of God will be demonstrated. Our godly character will do nothing but glorify Him. So, be vigilant and stay close. This is a battle for the sake of all eternity. I want you all to know that I love and care for each and every one that is here. And only want the best that God's kingdom has to offer. Please, be vigilant and stay close.